The pianist Margaret Lang Tan is renowned for her interpretation of the music of John Cage, but she's also made her mark on the music world by playing a novelty item originally designed to teach the piano to very small children. David Krasnow explains.
I'm standing in a stuffy room in Margaret Lang Tan's brownstone, towering over her piano collection. I'm somewhat unnerved by them. For some reason, the toy pianos remind me of the end of David Lynch's Mulholland Drive, in which the kindly old couple from the plane reappear as homicidal pixies. Those pixies are just about big enough to play these pianos. You're extremely good at sitting on your knees. Do you typically perform with the piano on its little legs and you are sort of crouching on your knees there?
Well, the toy piano is only 20 inches high, and I sit on a little 8-inch stool. And I sit for hours in this position on my little stool. I practice that way. But, you know, I come from the Far East. People squat a lot there, especially when we were children. We played a lot of games whilst we were, you know, sitting on our haunches. So I'm used to sitting that way, or sitting low to the ground. It's not a problem. It's either Russian or Greek, I'm not sure, but it's very old, this one. Also given to me in Berlin. Oops. This is one of a few toy pianos I have. Well, here are the legs. It's really a real Schroeder piano, this one. You know, with these short little legs. This is my largest toy piano. It's a little grand piano with 37 keys, 3 octaves. And I tour with 2 37-key toy pianos, a grand and an upright. If it's a very virtuosic piece, I prefer to play it in my grand because that has a better action. And I can just about do anything on it that I can do on the adult piano. I use the upright, which is a more mellow sound, for more soulful sounding pieces of music, more lyrical pieces.
How does this differ from a conventional piano? I mean, it's not just sort of, honey, I shrunk the piano. It's completely different inside, right?
Right. Actually, it's a repackaged xylophone. It's really a percussion instrument. Well, so is the piano for that matter. But this is really a percussion instrument pretending to be a piano. I love that saying by Marcel Duchamp. Poor tools require better skills. J. Meyer's got only 2 octaves, but it's a hell of a piano. I bought it in the East Village for $45. It was from my very first toy piano, and I was desperately looking for a toy piano to play John Cage's suite for toy piano. All I needed were these 9 notes. The suite for toy piano by John Cage is the first serious piece of music ever written for the toy piano.
Margaret Lang Tan already had an illustrious career playing composers like Cage, George Crumb, and Somei Sato. But after picking up her J-Mar, she became fixated on pianos as little as 8 inches high, too small for her fingers to even play. Some of them are bright red and made in China, others made by the venerable Schoenhut Company in Philadelphia. Because there was no other literature in classical music for a piano with 37 keys, Lang Tan began making her own transcriptions.
I do... Philip Glass's Modern Love Waltz. I like playing them on these 2 uprights. Now I'll show it to you what it sounds like on the big piano. A lot of things sound better on the toy piano.
When
When I recorded my album, The Art of the Toy Piano, I was asked by the powers that be to include a classical piece. So I thought about it and realized, of course, there was nothing else that could compete with the Moonlight Sonata, because that's what Schroeder used to play. No, Schroeder still plays, sorry. Sorry, Schroeder. I never envisioned that I would spend this much time on the toy piano, that it would take me so far afield and become a thing unto itself. I get a bit restless when people tend to forget that I also play the adult piano. And I don't want to have the label of being only a toy pianist, because I'm pretty good, adult pianist as well.
Ironically, the toy piano is also her vehicle to bring a more serious dimension to the performance of classical music. When Julia Wolf wrote her a particularly thorny piece that used a toy boombox for a rhythm track, Langtan used it to raise social issues behind the disposable commerce of items destined in a year or two for the yard sale.
Here's my little toy boombox. It's red and blue. It's got five different buttons on the top in various colors, and they make wonderful permutations. Now, when I play a concert, I show the audience this boombox, and they're very amused by all these wondrous things that it can do. And they're also, they laugh when I say, made in China. And then I say, I bought it in Chinatown for $3. And there's this embarrassed silence. Because even before I say it, they realize somebody made this. Somebody's blood, sweat, and tears went to making this little boombox. And I said, it was made by exploited labor, maybe even child labor. So they think a little bit more about what they buy. You see, the toy piano it's a toy. I mean, these are toys that I've tried to make into real instruments. The sound of the toy piano is really magical. It's nostalgic. It stirs up all kinds of forgotten memories and emotions. I think that's why many people who would never set foot inside a concert hall to hear a normal piano recital are curious to come and hear a toy piano. Not only for the tum-thumb element, but because it's something they can identify with from their childhood. Yeah, I'm Thumbelina.
For Studio 360, I'm David Krasnow.